Let's take our Bibles now and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're in this series on kind of the idea of self-forgetfulness, and we've been talking about this idea of how we view ourselves. It impacts our relationship with ourselves. It impacts our relationship with others. And we've kind of looked at the different ways that people approach. Some people take a, you've got to have high self-esteem approach. Others take a, you know, low self-esteem approach. And we talked about how both of those end up leading to pride. They're both proud. You're thinking too much about yourself. If you're beating yourself up, you're thinking too much about yourself. If you're blowing yourself up, you're thinking too much about yourself. And so we're looking at kind of what Paul talked about is the alternative to that. And we're going to have one more lesson, but this morning we're going to kind of bring this together to our view of ourselves and how we kind of work and think about ourselves. And so I want us to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me," now this is the key verse we've been looking at, "but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself." Now we're going to add on to a key part. "Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the" who? "The Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren," oh, we'll stop there. "And then shall every man have praise of God." I want to talk about this subject this morning, the verdict that matters. The verdict that matters. Father, bless now our time in the Word. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Bless our time. We pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. So we've been talking about this idea of kind of esteem, self-esteem, ego, how we look at ourselves, okay? And when you really start looking at this idea of low self-esteem or high self-esteem or any type of esteem, here's what I want you to know. Point one, that esteem is a matter of being justified. It is a matter of being justified, okay? Notice again in verse 4 how Paul said, "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified?" Okay, so let's just kind of stop here and now talk about this word justify for a minute. The word justify means to declare, to pronounce, one to be just or righteous, or here's a key part of this definition, or such as he ought to be, exactly proportioned or proper. This is to declare, we can say it this way, this is to declare the performance of one as meeting the standard or requirements. To say a person's conduct was as it ought to be. Think about when you have, you know, cases of, someone has a firearm and someone breaks into their house, right? And the person with the firearm shoots that person, right? So one of the things that gets kind of looked at was the person who used the firearm, were they just? Did they use it in a situation as it ought to be used, right? You can't just use a firearm wherever or whenever or however. There's this concept of self-defense in certain situations where you're allowed to use it. So if a person used a firearm, right, in a situation someone's broken into their house and they've met the requirements, here's what they would say. They were justified to use the firearm. Did you get what I'm saying? Their performance, their conduct was as it ought to have been. This is specifically used in the context of a court trial, okay? Now, in this verse, Paul, letter B, he expresses his desire to be justified. This is interesting because in verse 3, right, he's saying, hey, look, it is a small thing for you to judge me. Like, it is a very small thing to me what you say about me or what you think about me. And then he says this. He says, as a matter of fact, I don't even worry about what I think about me. So you would almost get the impression that Paul just doesn't care at all about what verdicts are rendered about him or what's thought about him. But that's not true. Paul actually, in verse 4, recognizes the need and the desire to be justified. He expresses that he desires to be declared as being what he ought to be. Okay? Paul shares, and here's what I want you to see. Paul shares with all humanity the desire to have our life declared as being as it ought to be. You know, intuitively, do you know what all of us have a desire? For a verdict to be rendered over your life and my life, that it's as it should be. That it's appropriate, that it's good, that it's right. Every person intuitively has that internal desire. Paul's acknowledgement of this affirms our need to be justified. I'm going to say this, not only do we desire it, we need it. We need a verdict over our life that says, you are as you ought to be. Letter C, we intuitively desire and feel the need to be justified. Paul's not the only one who's saying, hey, I do need to be justified. I do need a verdict. I do need a declaration laid over my life that says, Paul, you are as you ought to be. All of us share that desire. Intuitively, we have this heart that says, I want to be as I ought to be. Okay? And in this text, letter D, Paul is going to reveal two courthouses that men turn to for the verdict. Okay? So think about it. So here you are, intuitively, you have this desire for a judgment or a verdict to be kind of put over you that says, you're good. You are as you ought to be. You're sufficient. You meet the standard. Okay? Well, in order to feel that, you know what we have to do? We have to turn to some court to get that verdict. We have to turn somewhere for someone to declare that over our life. And Paul speaks of two places where we can do that. Here's the first one, Roman numeral 2, the courtroom of the world. The courtroom of the world. In verse 3, Paul shares what the courtroom of the world is, where the world goes for a verdict that says, hey, you're justified, you're good, you're as you ought to be. In verse 3, he says this, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Paul is speaking to how many people live. Letter A, many people look to public opinion to feel justified. This is what we call man's judgment, right? Man's judgment is any verdict that could be given at any level by man. So like, for example, here in the text, Paul could have looked at the church of Corinth and the leaders to look at him as a pastor and say, you know what, you're a good pastor. You're a good leader. You are, Paul, you are as you ought to be. And he could have looked to the church of Corinth for that verdict to then feel justified. That's man's opinion, right? This can be in our life. So in your life, here's what you and I can do, and we often do. We look around to people at different levels of relationships and different positions to speak over us and say, you're as you ought to be. Many children look to their parents. Many spouses look to their spouse. Many workers look to their bosses. Many people in Christianity look to spiritual leaders or look to others that they're peer groups with to speak over them. Essentially that, hey, you're good. You're as you ought to be. All right? This can be someone as close as a family member, or even if you think about this, someone who's looking to a distant religious figure even in another country like the Pope. The idea is that somewhere in their life, they are looking for someone to look at them and say, you're good. Why? Because then they feel their sense of value. They feel their sense of worth. They say, okay, I'm valuable. I'm valuable. I mean something. Now, this can even be actual verdicts or perceived verdicts, meaning this could be what someone actually says to you or what you think they're thinking about you. Because a lot of people worry and spend a lot of their time how they think someone feels about them, even though that person has never told them they feel that way about them. But they're living under the shadow of that. Well, I thought I wasn't doing a good job, or I thought you were mad at me, or I thought you were upset. See, so they were living based upon what they thought a verdict was, even though that wasn't even their verdict. So some people look to public opinion. Then Paul also said this in verse 3. He said, I judge not mine own self. You know why I said that? Letter B, because many look to personal opinion to feel justified. Many people will look to their own selves. Mine own self. He was saying that he had the ability to render a verdict over his own life. So here's what happens. Here's what happens to a lot of people. They go to the world, right, for approval. They go to their family, or they go to their job, or they go to their church, or they go to other people, and they look for verdicts that say you're as you ought to be. And you know, a lot of people find disappointment. They find they get mistreated, or they find that they're not, you know, fairly analyzed, or they find that, you know, they can't seem to please people. So you know what they do? They say, fine, forget what other people think. I'm only going to care about what I think. So then what they do is they start telling themselves, you're as you ought to be. They look in the mirror and say, you're as you ought to be. And they start speaking a verdict of justified over their own life. Okay? So you got a lot of people who go to work and they say, I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I only care what I think about me. Right? That's still the courtroom of the world. Letter C. In the world, your performance leads to the verdict. So in the world, if it's a relationship, if it's yourself, if it's religion, your verdict will come by your performance. It will always be that way. Look, if you're a Muslim, your verdict will come by your performance. If you're a Buddhist, it will come by your performance. You're a Catholic, it will come by your performance. In the workplace, it will come by your performance. Even in relationships, it will come by your performance. No matter where you look, these courtrooms will always analyze your performance and then render the verdict. And here's what Paul does. Paul highlights to you and me the problem with this courtroom. There's two huge problems. Okay, here's the first one. He understood that he could never fully win in the courtroom of the world. That's letter D, number one. He could never fully win. Think about what's going down here in 1 Corinthians. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He went to Corinth when there was no church. He preached the gospel. He led these people to Christ all by himself. He organized the church, discipled them, and trained them. And then he goes off to start other churches. And now there's people in the church saying he's not good enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, what more does a guy got to do? What more could Paul do to please? You know, you start going through all the letters. You know what you think about all the stuff that Paul did in almost all these letters? Do you realize that people were criticizing Paul for something? Do you know why? Because in the court of public opinion, you will never be enough. You will never do enough, say enough, be enough. You could lead someone to Christ, disciple them, mentor them, train them. Literally, like Paul, work a full-time job, get out of your job, and then preach to them till 1 in the morning. I mean, like, that's all stuff Paul was doing. And then still have people turn around and say, oh, yeah, but you didn't do this or you didn't do that. You know what Paul learned? That no matter how much you give to make people look at you and say you're as you ought to be, inevitably you will turn the corner and you will find out that someone is saying you're not. You know what? You can be employee of the month this month, and you can lose your job in 2 months. Come on. You could have a best friend. You could have a friend who was close to you, who you were tight, and the next thing you know, like a couple things happen, and now they don't want anything to do with you. You could be in a relationship. You could sometimes even be in a marriage where everything's going great, everything's going wonderful, and then you start maybe struggling, not doing well. Now all of a sudden, there's tension because you're not performing. Because there is expectations in a relationship. So what you're going to find is this. No matter how well you perform, Monday you may get a, hey, you're justified, but wait around, Wednesday's coming. And you're going to find, oh, no, you're not good enough today. So you'll never be satisfied because your life will always be up and down. The second thing that Paul discovered is this. Neither Paul or others had the ultimate authority to render a verdict over his life. Okay, look at verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have his praise of God. And he also alludes to this in verse 4. He says, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. You know what Paul also knew? At the end of the day, it didn't really matter what you think about me, Paul saying, or what I think about me, because when I die, I'm not going to stand before you and my verdict's not going to matter. He's saying that there is a higher authority and a higher verdict than what I can give or what you can give. So even if I think I'm great, even if I say I'm enough, even if everyone in the world tells me that I'm enough, I'm going to have to stand before God, and His verdict is the only one that's going to matter. So he knew that the most favorable of verdicts would be worthless. He's saying, look, Corinth, you could praise me until the day I die, but one day I'm going to stand before God, and whatever it is you had to say about me is not going to matter much at that moment. So there's these two fatal flaws of living for the verdicts of the world. One is that you're never going to satisfy the world. You're never even going to satisfy yourself because you're going to think you're great, and then you're going to turn around and you're going to struggle with yourself. And then, even if you do blind yourself to think you're amazing, you're going to stand before God who doesn't care what you think about yourself. So some important thoughts with that. It is natural and easy to live our life in the courtroom of the world. This is natural and easy to go to different places and say, man, I need you to speak over my life that I'm as I ought to be. And to let that determine your value, to let that determine your worth, to let that make you feel like you're somebody. Though we may gain a favorable verdict one day, we will turn around to find ourselves once again standing with our worth being questioned. You'll only go so long before once again you're back to, oh, am I valuable again? Number 3, in the end, the verdict of the earth will not hold up in heaven. And then intuitively you know that none of this is even going to hold up one day. So that's the first courtroom. The courtroom of the world. Which most of the population lives in, okay? But there's another courtroom I want to talk about, the courtroom of God. The courtroom of God, amen? So Paul brings up another judge outside of himself and outside of others. In verse 4 he says, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have his praise of God. Now, there's some important things here that Paul establishes. Letter A, God is going to judge all people one day. Paul said, look, there's coming a day when everyone's getting judged by him. And he gives us some specifics. He says, everything that man has ever done is going to be made manifest. Even the thoughts of men. Yeesh. Yikes. And you know what? You know what? Can we just stop? If every man's actions and thoughts are going to be brought out, can we just acknowledge this? No man is going to stand justified before God. There's nobody in this room that if God just takes 2 months of your thoughts, you're going to be feeling real good about that. There's nobody. So you might read that and you might be like, that's troubling. But letter B, think about this though. When you read the text, here's what we see. Paul seemed confident of a good verdict in heaven. It's crazy. Boy, Paul, you must have some serious pride. Because think about his tone, right? His tone in verse 3 is he's very dismissive of their thoughts about him or his thoughts. Like, look, like it's a very small thing that you judge me. I don't even judge myself. That's very dismissive. And then in verse 4, he says, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. But he's not saying that with dread. He's saying that like that's what he's standing behind. Like he's glad about that. So there's this confidence that he's going to have this good verdict in his life. Now, how in the world could Paul think about this, knowing that all of the deeds and thoughts of his heart are going to be brought before God? How in the world could Paul be feeling good about that? Okay, well, let's hold our place here and let's go to Romans chapter 5. It's very important that we look at these scriptures to kind of bring this all together. If you're awake, say amen. Amen. Okay, I know you didn't get coffee, so Romans chapter 5. All right, I want to just walk through some of these verses. So notice verse number 1. Remember the language we've been using. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being what? By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. Much more then, being now what? By His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Notice verse 15. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one, speaking about Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So he's contrasting the sin of Adam with the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Verse 15? Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto, what's the word? Justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, get that, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto, notice again, justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, so here's what Paul is bringing out here. That Jesus Christ the innocent shed his divine blood on the cross in payment for man's sins. Right? He talks about that. He talks about that in verse 9. That through the shedding of his blood. So Jesus Christ shed his blood in payment for the sins of men. Paul, in verse 1, tells us that he had this payment applied to his sin by calling out to Jesus Christ by faith. So that payment for sin was applied to him when he trusted in Jesus Christ by faith. Now, here's what you got to see. Paul knew that the performance of Christ on the cross would provide Paul with a verdict of justified. Did you get that? Paul knew that by calling upon the performance of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, and by receiving that, God would look through the performance of Christ and render a verdict on Paul as this: as you ought to be. Paul could rely on Jesus, whose life was... Now, Jesus' life was as it ought to be. Jesus, God looked down at Jesus and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well," what? "Pleased." Since God's verdict... Now, I love this. So, since God's verdict is the final and highest, Paul did not have to worry about any other's judgments. So, here is Paul. He knows that his deeds and his heart and his thoughts will be made manifest to God. He knows that his performance will not get him to a justified verdict. But he sees that Jesus Christ came and he was just, he was righteous, and he performed all of God's demands. And he offered and he shed his blood as a payment for Paul. And Paul, by faith, called upon Jesus Christ and received that payment. And now Paul knows that through the performance of Christ, he has been declared justified. Now here's what you have to see. Letter D, in the courtroom of God, Christ's performance is the basis of our verdict. In the gospel, Jesus Christ's performance on the cross secures our verdict before God. No verdict man or ourselves can render is superior to his. This verdict will outlast any other opinions formed by us or by others. When you believed on Jesus Christ and you received his payment for your sin, God took the righteousness of Christ in his performance and put that over you. So when he looks at you, he sees Christ. And here's what he says: you're as you ought to be. Now here's what I want you to get. And his judgment matters more than what you think. So you think, "Oh, I'm not good enough." That's why Paul said this: "I judge not mine own self." Do you know why Paul didn't judge his own self? Because Paul would look at himself and say, "You're not justified." But he had to look to what the Lord would say. And the Lord would say, "You are justified." And what God says about you matters more than what you think about you. And what God says about you matters more than what others say about you. So here's what we have to do. Here's what Paul had to do. Point four. This is about living in God's courtroom. We have to live our life learning how to live in God's courtroom. Okay, so let's think about this 1 Corinthians text for a minute. Paul faced the temptation to subject himself to the court of the world. Right? So here's Paul, he's preaching, he's carrying on, he's doing his ministry, and then all of a sudden he hears, "Hey, there's these leaders at Corinth, and they're talking bad about you, and now the church at Corinth is questioning you, and they're not even sure that you're really an apostle. They're not even really sure that you're of the Lord." The moment he hears that, do you know what he can be tempted to do? To subject himself to what they think about him, and now trying to prove himself to please them so that they will render a good verdict over him. Everything he knows about the Lord could in a minute vanish, and he could all of a sudden start, "Oh man, I gotta take care of this. Man, how can they think this about me? I gotta show them who I am. I've gotta get them to believe. Or he could say, "Who cares what they think? I know I'm a good apostle." The temptation could have went into a flurry. As Christians, every day you and I walk into courtrooms where we can easily surrender ourselves to what people think about us or to what we think about ourselves. And I'm not talking about for improvement. I'm not talking about for growth. I'm talking about for our value. Like, it's good to read an evaluation and say, okay, I can do better here. That's different than saying, oh, I'm worthless. So then what happens is we can easily work to hear the word justified by our friends, by our coworkers, or by our church family. And this battle will be with us all the days of our life. Turn around, someone says something negative about you, or someone starts saying things positive about you. Man, you're enjoying that. You want to keep that going because it makes you feel like you have value. So you start feeding that. And all of a sudden now you're up and down emotionally because you're living for what people think about you. But what Paul did, here's what Paul did. Paul always brought the focus back to the judgment of God. He said, hey, it's not about you that or me. It's about the Lord that judges me. He remembered that God's judgment was the highest and final. And he embraced that he had been declared just by the performance of Christ. And so you know what Paul did? Paul served God out of thankfulness for his verdict, not out of an attempt to improve it. You know what Paul did when the judgment started flying his way? It wasn't that Paul didn't try to grow. It wasn't that Paul wouldn't evaluate areas he could improve. But Paul was not going to find his value and his sense of self-worth in what people said. He said, no, wait a minute. What does God say about me? God says I'm justified. God says I'm righteous. I'm going to cling to that, not what you think. And then he could serve the Lord and preach the gospel and help the church of Corinth. He could help the church of Corinth, not out of trying to improve their verdict of him, but because he already has the verdict of God over his life. All right, so let's kind of bring this together. So as thoughts about our performance begin to condemn or affirm us, we must counter them with thoughts about Christ's performance. And you start to feel like, oh man, I'm worthless, or man, I just need to, man, you know, I'm amazing, or whatever it is. You've got to go back to, you know what, this isn't about me. The Lord has done it all. I'm justified, I'm loved, I'm accepted in Christ. Not because I'm great, but because He's great. The gospel is not something we apply to our heart once. It must be reapplied every day. The fact that Jesus Christ is your righteousness is not something that you learn when you're five and you make a prayer and you pray a prayer and then you move on to the deeper things. That is the deeper things that you live with every day of your life. He that judgeth me is the Lord. And through the blood of Christ, I'm accepted. I'm justified. And then in the gospel, we serve because we love Him, not because we need to impress Him. Actually, that word says "oh," it's supposed to be obey. I was wondering what that "oh" is there for. In the gospel, we obey because we love Him. Remember what 1 John said? If we love Him, we do what? We keep His commandments. We love Him. Why do we love Him? Because the verdict has been rendered. Paul said this. Paul said, I do not find my worth in what man thinks or what I think. I find my worth in what the Lord thinks. And sometimes when your worth is being challenged, you have to say, it's not about what I think, it's not about what others think, it's about what the Lord thinks. Amen? And here's what the Lord thinks. The Lord thinks through the righteousness of Christ that we are as we ought to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to allow your verdict to be the highest and final in our heart. Not, Father, that we're disrespectful. Not that we can't grow or learn or have a brother or a sister come alongside and challenge us about a bad attitude or about something we're doing. But not allow a challenge or a rebuke to then make us question our worth or our value. To make us question the very core of whether we mean or where we have any meaning. But Father, that we would realize that you have already rendered the verdict. And that every day we would live with that gospel mindset. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said.